Good morning, Trinity. It's good to see you. I don't know what the deal is with everybody bringing these backpacks in here, but I think we ought to bless them, don't you? Well, it's good to see each and every one of you here. We're welcoming you. For those of you who are visiting with us the first time, we welcome you, and we want to let you know this is our Trinity family. If we can be of any ministry to you, we want to let you know that as well. There's a couple of cards in the pew just in front of you. One is for prayer request. And if you have a prayer request, be it a visitor or a guest, please also, if a member, fill it out and let us know your phone number, how we might follow up with you, and any instructions you can give us. The other is for your attendance here today. If you're a visitor, that's great. We'd love to have your stuff too. And as a member, we really would like to have that. And remember, soon we're going to have that drawing, so make sure and sign that, okay? So we'd like to have you stand and welcome one another, if you would, at this time. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore announce the grace of God unto all of you, And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel this day is recorded in the book of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me,
that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except me. He who was sent from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this very day. Our text is the gospel lesson taken from John chapter 6. And if our projectionists could put those verses up again, that'd be wonderful. The Pew Bibles, we're actually going to begin with 6 verse 27. So if you would please pull that out too. The Pew Bible in front, John chapter 6, verse 27 and following. Jesus says, Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which Jesus, the Son of Man, will give to you. It's good for you and us to be here today. It's good for those of us who are joining us also at the beginning of this school year, who have enrolled your children or child in our CDC, our Child Development Center, or our K-8 program. It's also good for those of you us who are attending our public schools, for you to be able to be here today and to be reminded that you're in a partnership, you and us, together. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when they were old, they will not depart from it. You know, that journey begins often here in the waters of holy baptism. And so as we look at things that together church and school do, we think about us together as supporting and partnering with you as parents and grandparents to bring your children and grandchildren to the waters of a holy baptism. And for some of us, we do that even later as an adult. And so here in the waters of holy baptism, God takes his word and the promises from His Word that say, in Jesus' own lips, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we read of such promises as baptism now does save you. So what we see is with the Word of God, the water that He promises to work through, those two combined, God works to create faith inside your child or your life. It's good that we're partnering in such a way. We also have Children's Church, for those of you who are downstairs, maybe with the youngest of children, and also up to age 4. We partner with you. And we also, for Sunday school, ages 4 and up, we have a program that allows us to teach and train up that child in partnership with you. And we here teach children how to pray. Now, they learn that also in our CDC and in our K-8 program, and also we hope that they will be able to do that throughout their life. Together, church and school, we worship and learn how to worship. We have chapel in here every week on Wednesdays. And we also have church on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 services. This is a place where we learn to do many things together. We also learn how to love, how to forgive. We also learn how to live out our life. And as Christians, to live it in a way that is worthy of our calling. Now, each of us today will be fed a food that endures, does not perish. We will discover God's promises, God's plan for you, and His plan for your child. Now, verse 28 in John 6 tells us, what must we be doing to do the works of God? Jesus simply answered, believe in Him whom He has sent. Elsewhere, Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. Now, someone may want to know, well, who is this Jesus and why is He all-fired important? Jesus had just fed the 5,000 in the earlier Bible story of this with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That in itself was miraculous. He blessed it and they all ate to their fill. But it was also a tie-in to an Old Testament story that God the Father had fed the children of Israel in the wilderness when they were grumbling. And He fed them by sending down a heavenly bread called manna. So now Jesus was saying that the Father had sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to be the bread from heaven, the bread of God that would feed His children in the wilderness. So thus Jesus was laying His claim and showing them who He was, the Son of God, God Himself. Jesus also says how important this bread is. He said, this bread gives life to the world. This Jesus gives life to the world. Jesus' very purpose for coming as the babe of Bethlehem, His very purpose for living a perfect life in our place, His very purpose for suffering and dying upon a cross and then rising from the grave 3 days later on Easter was to give life to the world. That's why Jesus did all of that. And that's why Jesus is so very, very important. In fact, all of us, the Bible tells us, who will believe in His name would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's why God sent His own Son, Jesus, was to do that. I am the bread of life, verse 35. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Jesus speaks of the hunger for meaning and purpose in life. A thirst to live a life that is filled to the full with making a difference in our world, in our families, in our churches, and in our community. Jesus wants to give you and your children that very different thing. And the Bible calls this abundant life. Together, we are feeding your children to taste of such a life. To taste of this bread of life, Jesus, that feeds and satisfies us for a lifetime and leads us to eternity. I know as a youngster, A lot of adults would ask the children, what do you want to be when you grow up? My grandson, 4 years old, stood at the back door as he was greeting people on one Sunday as they were leaving. He loved doing that, by the way. And Tom Finger, one of our elders, asked him, he says, Anders, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Anders, without missing a beat, said, I want to be a doctor. Well, Tom says, well, I thought maybe you'd want to be a pastor. You want to shake everybody's hands and you want to be kind of like your grandpa. You want to talk to a lot of people. And Anders thought for a moment, then he looked at him, he said, okay, I'll be a pastor doctor. So Don Bierman, it's between you and me. I'm not sure which he's going to be, but a doctor or a pastor. But God has a plan for him. I want you to know that God has a plan for each of you as his children. And I don't care whether you're 6 days old or 60 years old, or if you're 8 days or 80 years old or 90 or whatever. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose. You're not an accident. You're just not a jumbled up mess that kind of happened somehow over evolution. You are designed by God himself. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a calling upon your life. And that's what you and I receive as we receive the bread of life, Jesus. In verse 37, all that the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And in verse 44, it says, no one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, if you were one of the people in that crowd who had gathered there and who were grumbling against Jesus, saying, who are you? We know your mom and dad. How could you have come out of heaven? Who didn't want to hear the things Jesus was teaching. Do you really think they were comforted by that? I think Jesus was really kind to tell him, this may not be for you. The Father may not have drawn you to me. This thing called bread of life, you might not get to taste. This thing called eternal life or forgiveness, you might not possess. What does it make you feel like when it feels like you're not going to get something that maybe you want? Or maybe you're not sure of yet? I think it creates a deeper intensity to want and to desire the very thing that you think you can't have. And I think that maybe, just maybe, Jesus was trying to create in those who were doubters and deniers a belief, a wanting, a desire for having that thing that Jesus had to give everyone else. He says, this bread you may not eat. You will not find that heavenly meaning of life or purpose or the promise of everlasting life. You may not know the joy of being loved or forgiven by God, is what Jesus was saying, of heaven's splendor or glory. Perhaps all of this is not yours to have. But Jesus, for each and for every one of you who the Father gives to me, you will come to me, and whoever comes, I will not cast out. You see, there's a group of people that feel and who know that the things that they've done or said are very serious. Lies and gossip, maybe even thievery. You know, things that we know that we shouldn't have done, but we did do. Those sins that are committed, that we know are not pleasing to God, let alone anybody else in this world that we live with or work with or surrounded by. And sometimes we just feel we're even beyond God's reach or his willingness to forgive us. But my friends, if you are being drawn by the Father to believe this message, and if you hunger and thirst and you want it, I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. Each and every one of you who the Father gives, Jesus will come to him, and whoever comes, I will not cast out. I come than just as I am. Just as I am. A sinner, stained by sin, I come. Do you want to eat this bread of life? Do you hunger and thirst for such a life? Do you want to know the joy of living an abundant life? Do you know and do you want to know that Jesus will never cast you out, put you aside, or kick you to the curb? Jesus will never cast you out. He simply says, come. Come. As he invites each and every one of you. And this is the will of my Father who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but rather raise it up on the last day. God knows you by name. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He's not going to cast you aside, kick you out, place you to the curb like garbage. He's going to raise you up. And he promises none of you will be lost. And he promises that it is the will of his Father that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life. The life that is lived in here and we die in here, we know that the next step is death and the grave. But we must see that as simply a blank page in between two chapters of everlasting life. And that we too will be raised on that day. And our Lord and our Savior will call us by name and we will enter into eternal life. Jesus repeats it again in verse 47. Whosoever believes in me, circle this, has eternal life. That's a promise from God. You know why? Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life that feeds you and me, that all-purposed, all-powerful, penetrating bread of life that endures through all of life and even into eternity. In summary, we are to work for, to labor for the real bread that endures and will not perish. The work of God is simply this, that you would believe, simply believe in Jesus whom God has sent. You would also, thirdly, give Jesus, understand, you need to understand, Jesus gives bread that satisfies our hunger and thirst for this lifetime and also the next. Four, the Father has given you to Jesus to be drawn. Do you hunger? Do you desire and thirst for what Jesus has to give you? And finally, whoever believes in Jesus will not be cast out, will not be lost, and will be raised on the last day unto eternal life. Do you want to eat? God wants to give you some heavenly bread. His name is Jesus. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'd like to have the children come forward at this time. We're going to have you come over here. Come on, follow me. Stand in the middle. Stand in the middle aisle there. And we'll have you step on maybe some of the steps and get up there. There's taller ones in the back. And I'm going to stand in the aisle. Okay. Can you go on into the middle? Jim Cannabis, I presume?
John.
Or John? Doug. Well, we're glad that each of you are here this morning. We're going to have a couple of different things going on. And one of the things is we'd like to have a prayer for you guys first, okay? And isn't this a wonderful group to see, guys? Isn't it wonderful to see these? And they've been here in a lot of our services already, so we're really glad to see that. And we're going to bless you, and we'd like to do that at this time. Lord and Savior Jesus, thank you for each of these children. You know them by name. Even when they are in their mommy's tummies, and you are knitting them together and making them, you already knew them by name and all the days of their life that were going to be. May you keep them safe this school year. May you bless them with learning and a desire, a hunger, and a thirst for learning new things. May they make new friends. May they learn how to love, how to forgive, and to have a new zeal and hope for life. May you allow them to grow up and to mature this year and to be prepared for the next season and step in their lives. Lord, may you be with their teachers, their moms and dads, as they teach them the eternal truths of life and the life everlasting. For you, Jesus, are the bread of life. Amen. Okay, now we're going to have you. Can I borrow one of those tags? Thanks. What we have here is a tag. You won't see it unless you've got very good eyesight. And this is the backside of the eye test, so it's even smaller. But I'd just like to say that the backpack has been blessed by Trinity Lutheran Church, your Trinity family, and kids. We love you and support you. Now, on the back are several Bible verses. And God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46, our theme verse for this year. And whatever you do, do the work it all with all your heart as working for the Lord. Colossians, there's Bible verses, several of them here, that are very fitting for a child and at school. So we're going to give this to your family, to the children, and may they be a blessing to them as well as to you as mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas. So make sure and read these to the children and let them know how important these verses are. So now we have a video that we'd like to have you see, okay?
Words are on our lips now, in our conversations and in our prayers too. Back to school. They're picking out backpacks and brand new notebooks, every blank page filled with possibilities, dreamed up at the tip of their newly sharpened pencils. Our kids will have enemies they can see and enemies they can't, choices to make, truths to discover, lies to reject, friendships, failures, heartbreaks, triumphs. Remind them you're by their side, Lord. They'll climb those stairs on the big yellow bus, which always say the same thing. Watch your step. Lord, that is what we pray for them today. That you watch their every step. Whether they walk or run, stumble or climb, these are long days and short years. Soon enough, they'll be flying from the nest. These are the years when we understand that our children are not our own and that we can't always go with them. But whether they turn to the right or left, whether they crawl or run, may they hear your voice always whisper, "This is the way. Walk in it." Father, this year and every year we pray, would you watch their steps? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you still? Will I dance in your presence, stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine.
Ask the congregation to momentarily please be seated. Teachers, please remain standing. I know you're used to being up and down, but I tried to save you a down there. So we do want to acknowledge your presence here today. These are the teachers, but also some of our staff who are present here with us. We would like to commission you for this year, and we would like to make sure that you are prayed for. Lord and Savior Jesus, may you bless the work of their hands. May you give them wisdom from above. May you allow them joy in their service. May your willingness to be present in their classroom extend also to their teacher, to these teachers. And may you allow them to see the fruits of their labors, and may the love that they pour out into their classroom be allowed to fill lives and to change lives. May the things that they teach be learned for home as well, and may the things that they learn also be extended throughout their lives. So bless the work of our teachers, and bring your blessing upon them in their families as well. May you protect them, provide for them, and above all, may you bless them. I now ask you as teachers, do you gladly and willingly assume the task to which you have been called to? If so, answer, I do. Do you also promise to teach with all heartfelt wisdom and knowledge the things of God that are set before you? If so, answer, I do. Do you promise with the help of the Holy Spirit to live a life worthy of the calling that is set before you and to be a blessing to your fellow staff, your congregation, and to serve Jesus this year and always in Jesus' name? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God. I commission you as teachers and staff of our congregation here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and may you be blessed this day and throughout your service here, throughout this year, in Jesus' name, amen. I now invite also any teachers that are in our public schools, as well as the congregation, to please stand. So everybody. Lord and Savior Jesus, for those teachers who are in our public schools, who are teaching in homeschooling situations, may you bless them as well, Lord Jesus. May your Spirit descend upon them and give them wisdom as they teach. May the truths that they learn, that the children learn from them, be life lessons. And we pray, O Lord, for safety in each of our classrooms and for each of these children. Bless their parents, bless these children, and bless all of those who have set about the task, this most noble task of teaching. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we thank you for this congregation and for the ministry of this congregation. As we dispense and are able to share the word of God, of baptism, of prayer, and of love, and of forgiveness, help us, O Lord, as church and school to be able to live these out as examples. And we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us throughout this year and on the days ahead, especially as we face and are marching towards the second century of our congregation's ministry. May you bless us and keep us. And may you also provide for us all that we need to do all that which you have set before us as your mission to go and to make disciples. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we ask that you would hear the prayers that have been requested this day by your people.
The congregation lifts up the following prayers. We pray, first of all, for those who have specific health concerns. We ask for God's comfort on them and their families, for Helen and Alex Bogut. We pray also for Officer Kevin Valenea, who is still recovering from a gunshot wound while in the line of duty. Pray for John Cundiff, who suffered a fractured foot and requires surgery on Tuesday, and for Sherry, who is healing from a fourth surgery. Lord, if it be thy will, extend thy healing hand on these individuals. We also pray for comfort for Sherry, who just lost her sister. And we pray for Matthew Patrick, who lost a friend recently from suicide. Lord, again, we ask your blessing upon our staff, our teachers, and our students on the advent of a new school year. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. And now we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye, all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup, which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? This bread, which we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste now and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Receive now the benediction of our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. A few brief announcements. Sunday school gets started next weekend. For kids 4 years of age to fifth grade, they'll be meeting in the kindergarten room at Heritage Hall, which is the main two-story building on campus. And middle school and high school students will also meet at 9:30 downstairs here in the church basement. Confirmation classes also will get started soon on September the 9th. Which is after church at 12:30. That will be for parents and students' initial meeting and registration. There's the kids' choir, Grace Notes Children's Choir, K through fifth grade. We'll be meeting every Wednesday starting on September the 5th, going throughout the school year. I'm not sure exactly the time or place right now, so hopefully it's on the website. The National Youth Gathering for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is next July, and we're starting planning. This is being spearheaded and planned by Jen Blackwood and Crystal Jones. The first meeting for this will occur after church on Sunday, August the 26th at 12:15. There will be food provided. And lastly, the new Foundations of Faith class begins on Wednesday, August the 22nd. That will go every Wednesday through October the 10th, 6:30 to 8. All are welcome, those who want to become members of the church, learn more about the church, and anyone who just wants a refresher course and meet new people. Again, not sure where that is meeting, but we can find out on the website. Thank you.